妈妈妈妈。
My name is Laura Max Rose, and I started the podcast you're listening to right now because motherhood is hard. And when I first started on this journey, I had more questions about it than I knew the answers to. I set out to make the journey a little lighter for myself and anyone listening by interviewing the experts on marriage after babies, sibling rivalry, toddler tantrums, you name it, I've asked about it. Now, 3 years since starting Look Ma No Hands, I know one thing to be true. We can't avoid hard times and challenges, but we don't have to go through them alone. And when things are going great, it's even better when you have someone to celebrate with. Join me each week for new episodes of Look Ma No Hands, a place where you can step back, take a deep breath, and have a moment just for you, Mom. Welcome to the show. So have you ever been reading a book by a quote unquote parenting expert or watching one of their many videos on Instagram or reading one of their posts and just thinking, oh my gosh, this person is doing it perfectly or did it perfectly when they had young children and I am totally messing up. What am I going to do? So this is me. Like sometimes it's me all the time. We've had a lot of therapy for that. So it's me less often now, but I have gone through moments lately where that voice has been turned up way louder, especially at the end of the school year. We just had like my first real crazy May with having a kindergartner and oh my God, she had like a field trip every day her last week of school. And I felt like I had a packing list with like 20 items on it every single day for her last few days of school. And that combined with my other two children and getting to work and taking care of my clients, I just thought I was going to totally lose it. And I didn't feel like I was having my best parenting moments during those few weeks. And it's so funny because after school was finally over, I was like, wow, you know, when I'm not totally stressed out, I'm a great parent. And you know what? I'm a great parent when I am stressed out. Those are just the times where it can be really more difficult and I get more frustrated and more triggered. And I hate that because I hate not giving my children my best, right? But one thing that I want them to understand and one thing I know I need to have a better understanding of is that that's not practical at all. And we're all human, right? So it's often at these moments when I stumble across, you know, we'll go ahead and use this example, some Gabor Mate video where he's talking about how, I love this line from him, the first 3 years are the most important. And if you can get the first 3 years right, then everything's great from there. Well, of course, I totally get into my head when I read this. Oh my God, you know, have I been letting Jolene watch too much Miss Rachel on YouTube when I'm putting my makeup on in the morning? Have I already ruined the first 3 years? So this type of advice has never worked for me. I always get very self-critical when I read this type of advice, that there's a certain bracket of time with my children or a certain moment with them that's super important. And if I don't get it right, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And even if the author or the communicator doesn't mean it that way, that is certainly one of the ways that I have internalized that type of advice before. So Gabor Mate has been on every single parenting podcast known to man. He is certainly one of the modern voices in the parenting world, a very strong voice in the parenting world. And I love what he has to say, but I often need to hear it through a certain filter because sometimes I do exactly what I just described with it, and especially with his advice for some reason. So the other day, I'm scrolling through my Instagram, okay, and I see a clip with him in it. And so I stopped to watch it, and it's actually him on somebody else's podcast. And he's telling a story. I mean, if I tell you I had to rewind this 3 times to understand what he was saying, that he was talking about himself, I thought he was telling a hypothetical story about somebody else. So he's on somebody else's podcast and he's like, yeah, you know, when I had my son was 3 years old, it was my birthday party. And I told everyone, you know, okay, it's time to sing happy birthday. And my son said, Daddy, I'm not singing happy birthday to you. And I said, well, then you're not getting any cake. And he said, well, I'm not singing happy birthday to you, Daddy. And I slapped him across the face. And Gabor says it was in that moment that he realized that his need for love and affection that he did not get was being triggered in that moment. And that was why he lashed out at his son. And I'm just sitting there like practically screaming, looking at my phone going, wait a second, you freaking hit your three-year-old for not singing you happy birthday, which by the way, your story completely makes sense to me. He is the son of a Holocaust survivor. He had a very, like, he had a lot of his own trauma in his own childhood. Like, I can make the connection very clearly, right? I was so grateful he shared this. Meanwhile, a lot of the comments on this video were so judgmental that it made it obvious to me why we don't hear more of these candid stories from people. Because, I mean, I don't know a lot of people who would voluntarily subject themselves to that. But he's telling this incredibly vulnerable story. I mean, it's intense. And I'm just like, wait a second. You had this moment with your three-year-old where you struck him, okay? You struck the kid, which in today's world is just like, we're not even talking about that anymore. We're talking about verbal communication with our children. Like, if you're slapping your kid, that's like not even, it's not even in the modern realm of discussion, I feel like, at this point. So you've slapped your kid, and now you live your life, you know, telling people what's about their trauma and how that factors into the way they raise their children and what our children need from us. And so much of what you have shared, while you've shared it with the best of intentions, has often made me ask myself, you know, am I falling short? Am I giving my kids enough? And I just had this total aha moment, guys. I just had this total aha moment where I realized that so many of the people who have become voices of leadership around how to gently and calmly and kindly parent our children are giving us that advice because they wish they maybe did it differently with their own children. And so since that opportunity doesn't necessarily exist anymore, or their children are older, there's that urgency. Okay, if I can't change what I did, I'm going to try to help other people do it. But there is a disconnect there, which we can't deny. Which is a disconnect I feel every time I watch or read any of this advice, which is, you're not in this right now. You don't know how it feels, okay? You don't know how it feels to go to sleep and get woken up five times in the middle of the night, like 3 weeks in a row, because one of your kids is sick, the other is a newborn, and the other one is, you know, having big feelings because there's a newborn, right? And then be expected to perform in all areas of your life as though none of that is happening. And one of the greatest, most basic human needs is sleep, right? So as new parents, we're often not getting enough of it. That can lead to being frustrated more easily, okay? Less attention, less focus, and a greater capacity to get frustrated. And I'm reading advice on how to do what I'm doing from someone who is A, probably really well rested. B has, of course, a very clear perspective on what they would have done differently with their own children. And C wasn't actually able to do that with their own children. So why am I sharing this? I don't think this is a one-off with Gabor. Okay. By the way, I think he is an incredibly wise human being who has made an incredible impact on so many people. And I really appreciate that. There's another woman who's, parenting courses she markets as, and I've shared this with my therapist, and she's like, eh. She says, you know, take this course and you won't remember the last time you raised your voice at your children. And it's like, okay, so I'm going to take your course, right? Which, by the way, I did take it because I wanted to, like, I was doing some research. Like, I wanted to see what she was going to tell me to do. And you can just tell, if you read her backstory, she will speak very candidly about how she did not do these things with her own children. She did not raise her children this way. So, okay, here's what I appreciate. I appreciate that you see your mistakes and you wish you did it differently, right? But here's what gets me, okay? You are so clearly not where I am right now. And so there's again, this disconnect, okay? There's you trying to help me, but you have no idea what you're asking me to do. You have no idea how it actually feels to implement these tools when you have your own background and your own history and your own trauma. And then you've made a mistake and you make that mistake and you open your phone and you see an ad for one of your courses and you just feel like the worst parent in the entire world because you're getting this advice right in the middle of your weak moment when what you really need is someone to say, hey, I can see you. You've got this. Go take a nap. Go take some time for yourself. Because digging further into yourself and picking at yourself is not going to help you where you are right now. More advice is not going to help you where you are right now. And I have this incredible opportunity on this podcast. Not only do I get to interview some of these people, but after the show, right, I get to have even more candid conversations with them. Because, of course, there's stuff we're going to talk about when we're recording and stuff we're going to talk about when we're not recording. And I can tell you definitively that every single person who's out there giving guidance is giving it either because they're in the trenches themselves and they've made the mistakes, even if it feels like they haven't. Or they just didn't do it the way they wanted to. And now they're looking back and saying, okay, here's what's important. Here's what matters. So I'm sharing this because I want whoever's listening to understand what I'm coming to understand, which is that all of this wisdom that we're being fed, right? I'm going to call it wisdom, but sometimes it's really not. All the guidance, all the advice, it's coming from every angle. Let's remember that there isn't a person who's giving it to you who isn't either human themselves, right? That's everyone, hasn't made their own mistakes, isn't maybe making them right now. And that we're all like, nobody is like, when, so here's what I love to do. Okay. I will be like, putting my makeup on, and I'm having like Jolene watch Miss Rachel, who I love, by the way. If you haven't discovered her yet, she's amazing. Jolene's watching Miss Rachel on YouTube so I can get my makeup done. And I'm thinking about Gabor Mate talking about how the first 3 years are so important. And oh my God, am I ruining my kid because she's watching Miss Rachel? He's probably referencing things like slapping your child across the face not being the best idea when they're three and under, right? And I want to say this, and this is a bold thing to say, that if you've actually been there where he described, that one of the most important things in childhood trauma isn't necessarily the traumatic incident. Like the traumatic incident, especially if it's that type of traumatic incident, can be very traumatic. But the long-lasting trauma actually comes from the adult not addressing what happened, and nobody ever talking about it again, and nobody ever growing from it, and nobody ever changing from it. So I can tell you this right now, okay? I can tell you that when I make mistakes with my children, I always try to discuss it with them, and I try to apologize to them, and I try to tell them like, okay, here's what I'm going to do differently next time. But guess what? If you're listening to this right now and you just made a mistake with your kid and you're wondering, oh my God, do I do that? Do I do enough of that? I can tell you there have been times where I haven't. And there have been times where I feel like I just can't. And there have been times where I'm just surviving. And so what I think is happening is people are in those moments like the one I just described, and they're turning on their phone and they're pulling up Instagram and they're seeing a video about how important apologizing to your child is. And they're just in a place where that's completely impossible. Like they need to get some rest. They need a snack, right? And this constant comparison shopping, as my best friend Nico likes to call it, can be detrimental where it's supposed to be helpful. Like these videos, these resources are supposed to be helpful, but sometimes they're too much, right? Are you feeling stuck in your business? Maybe you're a mom like I am who's daydreaming from her rocking chair about what she really wants her career to look like, but isn't sure how to get there when she barely has a minute for anything other than her kids. Or maybe you started off really genuinely wanting to be a stay-at-home mom, but now you're thinking you might need more time to work on your dreams and have more balance in your life. I have so been there, and now it's my passion to help people just like you get from where they are to where they know they can be. If you'd like to work with me to talk through what's blocking you, untangle your knots, and get excited about where you're going again, I'd love to chat. Message me anytime at laura@maxwellaspen.com or head to my website, maxwellaspen.com, to have a look at my coaching offerings. Can't wait to hear from you. Now let's get back to the podcast. I shared about this on Instagram, but I'm going to share it here because I think it's so important that I went on a trip for 2 weeks, a 2 week trip over spring break. And just as we were leaving the house, I realized I couldn't find my phone. So I was either going to keep looking for my phone and miss the entire trip, or I was going to have a trip without my phone. And I chose to have the trip without my phone. So for like the first day, it was really bizarre. But very quickly, I realized, okay, this is exactly what I needed right now. Like I needed to disconnect from all of this noise and just be with my children. And so as I do, I decided to take notes in my mind, not actually write them down, on what I noticed about my life with my phone. So as I was on this cruise ship with my kids, I felt so good. And I'm like, what is the thing that's sticking out to me about what's making me somewhat miserable at home? And all I could think about was my Instagram and a lot of the accounts that I follow and the parenting advice that I read and how it makes me feel all the time and how it can make me feel so bad about myself and how when I'm with my children and I'm present with them and I'm happy, I'm not questioning myself all the time. I'm not constantly getting advice and then asking myself, oh, hey, did I make a mistake in this interaction with my kid? And I was really intentional. When I got home, I came home and I unfollowed most of those accounts. There are a few that I kept that I actually do really find helpful, and I feel like they've made my life better. But I decided to get rid of most of them, which was scary for me because there was obviously this belief that if I don't follow these accounts, I'm somehow not going to get the wisdom. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to be able to give my kid what they need. And I needed to trust myself enough to let that go. And I'm really, really glad that that was the choice that I made. But we're constantly being barraged with advice. We're constantly being barraged with memes about parenting. And I just want to say that it is okay to step back, to listen to yourself. You know what you need. And when you're already feeling bad, advice probably isn't it, right? Because how would we feel if we had just made a huge mistake, or what we felt was a huge mistake, and we called a friend and she read a paragraph from a self-help book to us instead of saying, hey, I so get it. I've so been there. You're okay. You've got this. We need so much more compassion and understanding than I think we're getting. I also like to think about how I would want my own children to feel when they are parents. I would be kind of horrified, right, if my children grow up and criticize themselves to the degree that I have as a parent when they're older. I would want them to know, hey, girl, it's okay. Like, you're amazing. You're great at this. Like, you're having a moment. It's okay. They're going to be okay. I think there's a lot of hesitation from quote unquote experts in the parenting world to say, hey, it's going to be okay, because, and I get this, they don't want to enable anyone who's maybe doing something that's not okay and make them feel like it is okay. But here's the deal. I firmly believe those people are not following these accounts. Like, I firmly believe that in most cases, the people who really probably need them aren't necessarily following them. And I wonder if collectively we could like kind of let go of that fear and like give people a little bit more reassurance, right? This is a really hard job. This is no joke. And speaking of it being a really hard job, I've decided in my own personal life that I'm going to own that a little bit more. So I have been... There is no one who I am more sympathetic towards and more empathetic towards than the first-time mom, because going from zero to one child was the biggest upheaval in my entire life. Now, this is not the case for everybody, right? For some people, they have that first kid and they are on a bliss cloud. And then they have the second kid and it's like, whoa, this is really hard. Okay, I had a completely different experience. I had my first kid and I was like, oh my God, what's happening? Like, I didn't know up from down. It was crazy. And then when I had my second kid, it was actually a huge relief because I wasn't questioning myself so much as a parent anymore. I knew what to expect and I got to just really enjoy it. So I would joke that like having two kids for me was easier than having one. Then I had the third and there was an increased amount of that phenomenon where like, if I thought I knew what I was doing with number two, well, now I'm starting to really feel like more of an expert at this whole thing because I'm doing it again. I'm doing it for a third time. So suddenly there was something about having a third kid that prompted more first-time moms to reach out to me. Okay, how are you doing this? How are you managing three? I can barely manage one. And my response would always be like, oh my God, trust me. I think three is easier than one. You just like have such a better idea of what you're doing. You're not questioning that yourself anymore. Like, please have compassion for yourself. Please know like it's so hard to be where you are and you're going to be okay and you've got this and it's going to get so much easier. And yes, all that's true. Okay. So if you're like a first-time mom and you're reaching out to me and you're saying that, I'm still probably going to respond in that way. But when a stranger comes up to me in the grocery store and says, oh my gosh, three kids, how are you doing that? I've decided I'm not responding that way anymore because I was doing that. I was saying, oh, you have no idea. Like, this is way easier than just having one kid when I was 27, or I'll completely deflect the compliment. And so I have just been stopping when people say that to me because they say that to me a lot. I mean, I'm pushing a grocery cart with like three kids in it with all my groceries. I'm often moving like three kids plus a whole bag of something else. I've got three kids in my car. I've got three kids in the background when I'm on a Zoom call. And damn, I'm really proud of myself. You know, I've worked really hard to get to where I am. And I'm very humble about the fact that this can be difficult for me at many different times. But I am going to take in when somebody recognizes how difficult this is, because it is difficult, and I'm no longer going to give that back and just say, oh no, you keep that. I don't deserve it, because that's not true. So there's a balance there, right? I can show up for the people who are having their first kid, who are in the trenches in a way where I just want to say, like, I want to reiterate that on here. If you are a first-time mom, like, gosh, that shit is so hard. And it really does get easier. It really does get easier. And I actually want to do like an entire episode on that first year after you have your first kid. And what I learned about myself, postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, if you're dealing with that, I've had lots of experience with it. So I've really been meaning to do an episode on that. But I came on here to do this episode today. Just if anyone is struggling with that comparison game and feeling like they're not good enough when they work so hard, I just want to say I see you and I've been there. I spent the month of May just feeling like the world's worst mom. I had this feeling of wanting, I just wasn't good enough for my kids. I was like, they deserve so much better than me. And like, I just wanted to disappear. That was how badly I felt about, my parenting. And, it was really hard and really isolating. And I swear the second school ended and I didn't have this stressor on me of like just having to have everybody prepared every day. And even though everyone's still waking up at 6 a.m, I don't have to be somewhere immediately. The camp schedule is way more relaxed than the school schedule is. I just feel so much more at ease. And I needed that to change. I didn't need to read another book about what I should be doing differently. I needed a change in circumstance. Which is what I got and what I'm so grateful for. I want to end with this. My best friend, Nico, who I've already mentioned in this podcast, we were talking about this and she said, you know, as someone with trauma, right, you're going to be more prone to looking at the world and trying to figure out what normal is. Okay. You're going to be more prone to looking around and trying to figure out what the right thing is, what the right way of doing stuff is. And that's part of your trauma. And that can get really, really triggered when you're feeling really bad about yourself. So this advice, which could be really well-meaning, right, can sort of play into that shame that you have, that you don't know what normal is, that you're looking for it, that you don't know what you're doing. And it can exacerbate it. And it's so important to know that. So that when you are going through those times, when you are feeling badly about yourself, you can remember, okay, this is my tendency. My tendency is to think that I'm doing it all wrong, that there's something wrong with me, and to look outside of myself for an example of what it is I should be doing. And just hearing that was just such a relief for me. Like, oh, okay, I don't need to listen to this voice that prompts me to obsessively research the way I should be parenting. I mean, that's why I started this podcast, guys. I started this podcast because I felt like I had no idea what I was doing and I had a million questions and I wanted to get parenting perfectly right. I felt like if I could just get it perfectly right, I could heal generational trauma. Nobody would have any pain anymore, particularly my children. And like, I had to get it perfect and I was going to ask every question to every expert I could find. And that was going to be my podcast. And here's what I've got for you. No one has all the answers. Can information help make things easier? Can they help you maybe get a little bit more sleep at night or help your kids get along better in some cases, but definitely not all of them? Sure. Can they help you be a more patient, kind, and loving parent? Absolutely. Okay. That stuff is there. But there's never going to, we're never going to have all the answers, right? And the most healing that I have found has been through the conversations where the person on the other end says, oh, me too. Oh my God, I've struggled with that too. And it's not, you know, it's somebody on the other end who I know is cares the way that I care, right? And can say, yep, I've been there. And their vulnerability has set me free. And that's what I feel like I do this for now. I do this to talk to people who can say, me too, I've been there, to as many people as need to hear it. And that's what I hope these episodes can bring you and are starting to bring you in whatever stage of parenting and life you may be in. So I'm so grateful to have been able to join you today for this solo episode of Look Ma, No Hands. And I hope that wherever you are, you're being kind to yourself and know that you're not alone. And I'm thinking of you. I hope you guys have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. I'm Laura Maxrose, and you've just listened to another episode of Look Ma, No Hands, my candid dispatches from the front lines of motherhood. Follow me on Instagram at Laura Maxrose for updates on my latest episodes. And if you like the one you just heard, I hope you'll subscribe, share it with a friend, and spread the word so others can hear it. I'm so glad you're here. Can't wait to chat again next time.